Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
Oh, yeah, that's one of the big ones, one of the big hits. The band there at the Mos Eisley Spaceport, right? That's where that's where that was. I don't know why I'm looking at you. You haven't seen any of the movies, so you have no freaking idea. It is the Cantina, the band at the Cantina. Yeah, very well done. Happy Star Wars Day to you as the movie debuts tonight. Hopefully you have your tickets in hand or are going very soon and are not the social leper that Curtis Siebold is for having never seen a Star Wars movie. I just don't want that for any of our listeners. We're live at Tickets for Less. You can check them out online at ticketsforless.com. 10% off all events at the Sprint Center. This includes the Big 12 basketball tournament in March, the NCAA volleyball championships tonight and Saturday night, and concerts like Kid Rock, Pink, Maroon 5, Eagles, Ketchup, Brad Paisley. Events like the bull riding. Professional bull riding coming here to Sprint Center. Disney on Ice, Monster Jam, 10% off. Just use the promo code SPRINT10 at TicketsForLess.com, and you'll save 10% on everything. Opening day tickets, just $99. Chiefs and Dolphins coming up on the 24th. That is $20 for upper levels, $45 for lower levels. And the Chiefs and Chargers this weekend, lower sideline seats, $79. Upper level, phone only for the upper level. First 10 rows on the sidelines, $40. Call Tickets for Less at 913-685-3322. Very excited to welcome our next guest. Writes for the Big Lead. He's a local guy and does great work. I'm a big fan of what he does. Tully Corcoran joins us here on our Sprint Guest Line. Tully, how are you?
I'm good. I'm ashamed to admit that I also have never seen a Star Wars film.
See, you know, we were off to such a good start. I like your writing style. I've been reading a lot of your stuff, getting ready to talk to you, and then you got to go and just dump on the whole conversation like that. What's the matter with you? But you're a child, as I recall, by looking at you.
Yeah.
You're not that old, right? How old are you?
I'm 34.
Oh, you're older than I thought. Your picture makes you look even younger.
Only issue I have is that he said he was ashamed to it. Don't be ashamed.
Yeah.
I've been called un-American. I get grief about this every time I admit it.
I have often said that if I told people I threw a puppy off a bridge, it would meet with less than if I say I haven't seen Star Wars.
Yeah. Wow. All right.
I haven't tried that, by the way. Just, you know, like comparing the two.
Tully,
Here's
the difference between you and Curtis. Having read your work, you're smart. And, Curtis isn't. So, like, you've got the, hey, I'm a bright guy and I operate on a higher plane approach. So, this bubble gum.
Star Wars. Yeah. I'm good with that. I'm good with that one.
We'll go with that. You're just too smart for Star Wars, is what it is. That's what we'll go with.
Title of his next book.
Yeah.
Tully Corcoran, Too Smart for Star Wars.
That worked out.
Yeah, I like that. That'd be a bestseller.
From
as
Random
I can
House.
Tell. Yeah. You've written a lot of great stuff, so we're very happy to get a chance to talk to you right now. And let's start with what you've written about Bill Self and his, you know, this kind of being the script, that this is the script we usually see out of Kansas, and he calls his team soft, and then they get going and they roll everybody, and they're a one seed. Do you think that is it, that this is just the same script? Or, as you point out a couple of things, do they have some bigger flaws than in the past, and it's not going to go like that?
You know, I think it's a little bit of both. Bill does do this every year, but this is a team, just because of the sheer numbers that they have, it's like he's extra right this time. I mean, they are going to have to rely on their perimeter defense more than anything else, because they just at this point have no interior offense to speak of, and it puts so much pressure on the backcourt offensively, you know, and as we've seen, that can be taken away. So it's going to be a defensive issue for them, I think, and they haven't played particularly good defense yet.
Yeah, and the question is, and what I'm intrigued by, and we'll talk about this here in a little bit with Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, but you know, is this a team that's just kind of sitting around waiting for the cavalry? When you have Sam Cunliffe, who's going to become eligible this weekend, and you think Billy Preston and D'Souza are right over the horizon, I could see where young kids would have a tendency to say, like, okay, yeah, we're pretty good, but wait till we get all our guys, right? Wait till we're all here, especially Cunliffe and Billy Preston, who they practice with and hang out with, who are part of the team, but then they go out and play. They're not out there. There's got to be at least a little bit of a a feeling that we're not whole, and so it's not that big a deal if we lose. You like that psychological theory there?
Theoretically, Billy Preston, like, totally transforms the situation because he's that athletic four that they always have and they play so well with. I haven't seen him play, but I imagine he's a more effective scorer than Udoka Azubuike. And they could just really use that. It's been part of Self's style. And, you know, he's played a lot of four guard the last couple of years, but I don't think this team is going to be able to survive long term without more of a post threat. So Billy Preston, any athletic four man they could put in there, I think would do him a lot of good.
Is it possible that they're not soft, they're just not that talented? That, you know, by Kansas standards, they're not that talented?
Yeah, I'd say that's possible. I think the backcourt is pretty good. Malik Newman, you know, you look at his numbers and they're solid, but he doesn't seem to have impacted games, I think, the way people were hoping. Azubuike is not quite on the level as a, you know, polished offensive player that people were probably hoping for. And so it could be that they're just not quite up there this year.
And is that – I know you wrote a piece about the Jayhawks a couple of years ago about the Jayhawks, and you kind of bristled that it was really a rebuttal to a piece at 538 where they said Bill Self is learning to love the three-pointer. Is this a case of where, while everybody else loves the run to the perimeter and chuck the three idea, even the statisticians who, seem to think that that's where the game is going because the Warriors have been able to play it at the highest level, that still in college basketball, easy baskets are what you need, and that, KU might be able to get hot and make a run with a four-guard lineup that just blitzes through the NCAA tournament, but the reality of winning games consistently comes with getting easy buckets.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I think. And the thing that if I'm remembering right, the thing that bothered me so much about that piece is, like, we're talking about a difference of one shot a game, which is supposed to be this hugely meaningful thing about what Bill Self will and won't do, you know. So many of those statistical arguments come down to, you know, one possession where a guy takes a two or a three. It's like, okay, but Kansas, as you saw against Washington, and let's point out how preposterous it was that strategy worked, but the bottom line is it did work. Washington simply said, Kansas is not going to shoot threes, and we'll let them do whatever else they want, and they won the game. So I think you have to have a two-dimensional offense, and Kansas really doesn't right now.
Yeah, and it'll look real different if Billy Preston's in there on the inside as well. There's no doubt they got to execute better against a zone or a team that does that. I mean, there was a lot of, okay, LeGerald, you got the ball there, go finish. There are other moves that could be made. You know, guys did not work the baseline the way they should. Listen, being a Syracuse alum and watching Syracuse's zone all the time, I know how Villanova kills us and sticks a knife in our neck all the time. I know how – Pitt used to do it to us. They Kansas did a great job of getting the ball to where they wanted it in the lane but didn't finish. So I think Washington could have been blown out if the guys along the baseline would have done their job or if there had been a little bit more size. The other thing they do is they don't rebound. And I think that's part of the softness as well. And, they're playing four guards. Yeah, but there are a lot of times you see where Azubuike turns to get the ball and there's four other guys headed back down the floor to, like, get into defensive position. I mean, if you want to win on the boards, it's not just about being tall. It's about actually moving towards the rim and trying to secure the basketball. They don't seem to do that well, which is, you tell me, you watch a lot of Kansas ball. That seems really surprising that any Bill Self team that's had him barking and his, you know, behind the scenes practice approach is you know, it's more like Frank Martin. I mean, he goes after him. Are you surprised to see how little they really crash the glass, even though they are guards?
Yeah, I mean, to some degree, like I agree with you that I don't think they're playing as hard as most self teams, but I think there have been years where you've seen this this level of it for a little while, and bad things happen, and self cracks them, and they respond. I'd be surprised if this didn't change pretty dramatically over the next couple of weeks. That's just been the pattern, you know, with these guys. So, you know, if the question is, are they playing soft because they're like lacking in character or heart or something? I don't think so. But I think they don't know. I think Self would probably tell you they think they're playing hard, but they don't know how much harder they could play.
Yeah, that's fair. Do you think the leadership is there? I mean, listen, I'm asking you a question when you don't run around with the guys. I get it. You don't really know what each person is like. But my point is, as you watch it, do you see the same kind of demonstrative leadership that maybe we certainly saw from Frank Mason last year? That, you know, okay, yes, there's a couple of seniors and a junior that are up front in Devontae Graham and Smee, the seniors, and Vic, the junior. None of them strike me as leadership guys. Like Frank Mason, even as a freshman, I remember him playing – down in the Caribbean tournament with Andrew Wiggins, and it was crunch time, and Frank Mason was taking the big shots late. I mean, he seemed to have that swagger and that presence. I've never seen it out of speed. Part of that's because he's 2 years younger than what his class actually says, so I think he's probably always been the young kid. So I get where that personality trait isn't really there. But Devontae Graham, he wants to be that guy, but I don't see him really, you know, doing. Or am I wrong? Is that just – I'm finding excuses or finding – I'm reverse engineering it and try to find the reason why they're not winning. And it's just, guess what, they didn't have a good night.
Yeah, I think you may be doing a little bit of that. No, Devontae Graham is not on the level of Frank Mason when it comes to just being the total leader of a team. There, not many players are. But Graham is – he's probably their most confident player. He's probably their most – clutch player. He's going to have the ball in his hands the most. I mean, it is his team, for better or for worse. It's kind of like those years when it was Tyshawn Taylor's team, and Tyshawn was an outstanding player, but he kind of needed to learn how to become a leader, and it didn't come as naturally to him as it had to, you know, his predecessor, Sharon Collins. So I think that's maybe kind of the phase that KU's in with Devontae.
All right, so to sum up, and we're talking to Tully Corcoran for the big lead, this team, is it a one seed when it's all said and done, which is what they've been 7 of the last 8 years. It's what fans have become accustomed to. The tournament's its own mix. I'll ask you one more question about Kansas on the tournament. But is this team, if it follows the script, do you think it's going to be a one seed when it's all said and done?
Well, it depends so much on the personnel situation going forward, but – as constructed now, I would say no. But if they get a four-man in there, you know, who knows? But as they are, I think they're just too one-dimensional, and they'll get knocked off a few too many times.
All right, as a guy who understands the numbers but also is not afraid to put the eye test out there, at least based on what I've read of your work, when you look at Bill Self overall, is there something he needs to tweak in what he does to maybe have a little more tournament success? Or is it simply that all those Elite Eights, because I had a theory on what it is. I'd be curious what yours is. But I also think all the Elite Eights and this thought that there's a ceiling with the Elite Eight are eventually going to turn into, you know, 2-3 Final Fours in 5 years, because it's just a little bit of bad luck that's gone against him. Do you look at something and say Bill Self needs to tweak in his program to go just a little bit further in the NCAA tournament? Or is this great and it's just a matter of expectations being ridiculously high?
You know, I think the only real insight I could offer into that question is, you know, when I was around the team for those years with the Capital Journal, You did get a sense sometimes before, like an Elite Eight game, that Self was kind of nervous. And, you know, I don't know. Am I projecting that? Did that impact the team? But then these teams, they go out and they play tight. They go, you know, 2 for 20 from the 3-point line. And so I don't know that there's anything that he could do differently. It's just there's kind of this thing that hangs over some of those games, especially when it's like a lower ranked team, you know, sort of a Cinderella type team. That just, it maybe it comes from the media or the fans, or I don't know where it comes from. But there's just kind of this thing that gets in there, and you know, that's about as I don't have any numbers to back that up.
Yeah, but you know what? It is, though. Bill Self's had so much success. If you're going to criticize him, if you're going to second guess him, you tread a little bit lightly, right? I mean, we're not second guessing a guy who's constantly on the bubble,
no.
And it's not like Sabre, right? Bill Self's resume pretty much says screw you.
Yeah, no, he's a Hall of Fame coach already, obviously, and I agree. I was talking to some people about what you were saying about the numbers. I mean, just look at how many times they've been a number one seed and how many times they've been to the Elite Eight, and you just think it's strange that none of these made it all the way through. And you just figure that over time, you know, the law of averages kind of balances that out, you know.
We're talking to Tully Corcoran from The Big Lead. You can read his work at thebiglead.com. You can follow him on Twitter. And he's like me. He's one of those guys that's got a name that he can actually just use for his Twitter handle, at Tully Corcoran, TullyCorcoran, to follow him on the Twitter. I want to talk about some of the other things that you've written here of late. One of them that spoke to me about LiAngelo Ball, you know, that he's an adult. He's 19 years old. He makes these decisions on his own. Two things on this, one you wrote about and one you didn't. First of all, I love that concept of it, that, like, look, LeVar Ball, everybody wants to blame LeVar Ball, but this is a kid who can, you know, go fight for his country if he chooses to. It's really on him. Is that a good thing that he's got, though, this boogeyman that's up there that takes all the heat for him? Nobody really blasts LiAngelo Ball. Some jokes were made at his expense when he's over in China, but for the most part, he's kind of got, you know, a human shield. And his father taking all the blows, does that end up being a good or bad thing for LiAngelo Ball?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's like I wrote, maybe it's in his best interest to just go along with whatever his dad says. Maybe it's not. I don't know. My point is, it's his choice to make, you know. But, you know, so far, he does not exactly strike me as a kid that wants the spotlight. None of those Ball kids do. LeVar seems to just hog it all, and they don't seem to mind, and it probably has helped him. I mean, it does make him come off like a child when there's a dad hovering over him all the time, even though, technically speaking, this is a grown man.
It is. Let me run this theory by you as a guy who likes college basketball, watches it, covered it. The problem isn't that he's going to Lithuania. Pulling two kids out that their major was going to be basketball. The problem is that they have to go to Lithuania to major in basketball, that we still continue to have this hypocritical approach of making a kid like Josh Jackson, who seemed to genuinely want to go to college. He may have chosen to go to college. Andrew Wiggins was only there because that was where he could keep his game going. And I'm picking Kansas kids just to use the local angle, but to keep his game fresh and going for the next level. The problem is that we don't have – a system like, you know, global soccer does to have the academies, or to have, I think you could kind of merge the academy and the minor league system to where, listen, you don't want to go to school, fine, don't go to school, play ball here. That's where the G League needs to get to, not just the G League, but H League below it. And so that kids, if that's what you want to do, you can go play ball. This isn't a bad thing to me. I don't understand the outrage. Because so many people who say, well, that kid doesn't belong in college are the same people that are pissed that this kid's not going to college and is going to go play someplace else. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think people are afraid that any of those kind of ideas are going to suck interest away from college basketball and reduce its relevance. And that's that maybe that's what would happen. What do you think?
Yes, I think there's a huge hypocrisy. I mean, I think by our very nature we're hypocrites. We speak about morals and what is moralistically right, what we think is the right thing to do, and then when it comes to, you know, suddenly the morals sit down in our living room, we change it to fit what we want for us that day, right? We want this great moral code, but then we don't hold of ourselves and expect ourselves to live by the same code. I use a phrase with my kids all the time. Give of yourself at least what you ask of those around you, if not more. Like, I think the best thing you can do as a human being, like, if I'm going to ask Curtis to you know, come in here and do X amount of work, I got to work at least that much, if not more. Like, the problem is when you tell people, like, you know, don't raise your voice at me, and then you yell at them all the time, right? The hypocrisy of it is where things, to me, are lost. And that's what we've got with amateur athletics. Everybody hates the AAU system that we've got, but then they sure as hell don't want to lose the chance for that kid to come play for their university either.
Yeah, you know, we need to – what the NCAA needs to be fixed so that it doesn't have to compete with things like that. Like, whatever it has to do to maintain this – I think everybody's comfortable with sort of an illusion that this is about college, as long as that they're wearing the uniforms and the games are on campus and all that stuff. I don't think most people are really going to notice if players start getting money. It's not going to matter to anyone. So people need to lose this fear that that is going to ruin the thing that exists. I think it's like the only way to preserve it.
Yeah, I'll take that. All right, I actually had a whole list of things I was going to talk to you about. We'll have to have you on again. I'll talk about some other things. I invite you to go to thebiglead.com or just search Tully Corcoran, The Big Lead, and you'll see it'll take you to his main page there, and you can read all his work there at The Big Lead. He's written some great stuff on the Heisman Trophy, which, by the way, was it stale as a – I can't remember the phrase. I was gonna throw it back at you. It was stale as an estate sale. That's what it was. The Heisman Ceremony show looks like it smells like an estate sale, and it has the pacing of a drunken maid of honor speech. So that's a great read on that. But a lot of great stuff there from Tully. But I got to give you my final four because Rob's freaking out. We're late. Our final four brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. You can enter your non-winning holiday scratcher tickets in their Play On loyalty program. Check it out at kslottery.com. Four quickies. I'll start you with this. Which will be elected first, a pro wrestler? This I'm talking about for president. A pro wrestler or a porn star?
I think a pro wrestler. I think we're not quite ready for a porn star, pro wrestler.
I'm referencing a tweet that Tully sent out when, The Rock says he's going to run for president?
The Rock, right? Yeah.
Okay. We have had a wrestler be the governor of Minnesota, so we would certainly see.
Well, Trump has appeared in wrestling and porn.
So I guess maybe the answer is yes, both. It's already happened, so we've got that. All right, I'm curious, your Twitter photo, again, people can follow you, at Tully Corcoran is the Twitter handle. What is that Twitter photo? Is that the childhood home? I'm
no.
curious where that is.
That's at a, believe it or not, that was in the dressing room of a bathhouse in Arkansas.
Like, now I've got like 20 more questions I can't ask that I want to know.
Hot Springs, Arkansas. They got the hot springs.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Okay, I've been down there. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you go with your wife. You have some flavored water. It's, you know, it's great.
Okay. I was like, well, maybe that's like his homestead, right? Where he's from. Maybe that's the outskirts.
Oh, you're
in Houston now, right?
I'm sorry. You're talking about the background.
Yeah.
I misunderstood you. No. The background is my dad's childhood home on a farm just outside of Burton, Kansas.
Oh, okay. Because it looks like it reminded me of my my mother's family's farm in Newton, Kansas. And that house looked
right down the road from there, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So then I was right. You're talking about the bathrobe-clad, bushy-haired photo of you is from the bathhouse.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Good. Yeah. Well, I uncovered a lot right there, without even.
Yeah, you really got a lot out of that one. Yeah,
a lot of mileage there. All right, who wins, Chiefs or Chargers?
Chiefs.
Okay. Well done. And how many losses for KU when it's all said and done this year?
I'm gonna go with 9.
9. All right. That'll shock some Kansas people. Tully, great stuff. I really enjoy your work. Keep it up. Everybody can check it out. His Twitter handle, at Tully Corcoran, and read his work at The Big Lead, also at Bleacher Report from time to time. You still writing for Bleacher Report?
Yeah. New features for them.
Okay, good. Great stuff, man. Thanks for the time, and we hope to talk to you again soon.
Sure. Thanks, man.
All right, Tully Corcoran from TheBigLead.com. Good stuff. I'm gonna tell you, it's funny. It's a bright guy.
Sometimes you just get little nugget of gold that you weren't expecting. And that Twitter picture thing was pretty good.
Yeah, we were having a laugh when I was reading some of his stuff yesterday afternoon. How many times did we go to the dictionary, Curtis?
About a lot.
3 times.
It's like a lot.
Oh, wait.
Tully knows more words than I do.
Yeah, I was like, all right. I think this is what it means. Somebody run dictionary.com on this one. So I'm not sure. Rob, what do we got? A couple more minutes here before we break. What do you want to do? Oh, okay. We'll do it. We'll take a break. We're at ticketsforless.com. 913-685-3322. 10% off all Sprint events. Use the promo code SPRINT10. Star of the show, though, is these Chiefs ticket prices. You can go to the Chiefs and Chargers this weekend. Lower level sideline, $79. Upper level, first 10 rows on the sidelines. Got a call. For the upper-level ones, 913-685-3322. That's just $40. Let's roll forward to the Dolphin game coming up. Uppers just $20, lowers $45. You can't beat these prices on the Chiefs games. Get your opening day tickets for the Royals as well, just $99. Right now at ticketsforless.com.